We're coming to the end of our series on honor. It's my hope and my prayer that these messages have encouraged you. You've been encouraged by God's Spirit to live a life of honor. It's not really a complicated principle to understand. But like many things that are simple, it's still hard. I guess it might be like riding a unicycle. A unicycle only has one wheel and one seat and two pedals. It's not very complicated, but apparently it's very difficult. Never tried to ride a unicycle, but it is a very difficult thing to master. And living a life of honor is not complicated either. It doesn't have a whole lot of moving parts. It only has three parts to it. Now compare that to, say, the space shuttle. The space shuttle has many more moving parts. Anybody have a guess as to how many moving parts are in the space shuttle? Good point, Chris, who read my notes and made the PowerPoint presentation. Thank you for ruining it for everybody, Chris. That's wonderful. 2.5 million moving parts in the space shuttle. You are off the Christmas card list, Mr. Kane. Honor, on the other hand, is simple. It only has three moving parts to remember. Treat people as valuable or precious. Honor means to respect, and honor means to willingly submit. Three simple steps, but they are not at all easy. So far you've heard a lot about why honor is so important. And we've talked a lot about who to honor. We've talked about living a life of honor and how God's favor is given to those who find the sweet spot of honor. Today, I want to share with you the hows of honor. How do we practically live out a life of honor? How do we go about honoring people? Today's message is all about hands-on ways that you can make honor a part of your life. Here are some practical ways that you can implement honor into your life. First of all, Ephesians 4:29. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Public support. Supporting someone publicly. You see, sometimes the worst thing we can do when it comes to honoring someone is to do nothing. Many times the reason a person doesn't receive honor isn't because others don't believe that they're worthy. The truth of the matter is that many times we see people and know people who are deserving of honor, who are worthy of honor. We just neglect to tell them or show them. Have you ever been prompted to give honor to someone, but before you could do it, one of these thoughts entered your mind? Well, it's so obvious that they deserve honor. Someone else will do it. Or, I'm just not good at that sort of thing. Or maybe you thought, it would just feel weird. Well, people need to know we live a life of honor. They need to know, first of all, that we honor God. That goes without saying. But to be an effective witness to those who don't live a life of honor, and to be a witness to those people who have not submitted their lives to Christ, they also need to see us honoring people that God calls us to honor. But Pastor, I'm sure those people know that I value and respect them. I'm sure they understand that it's hard for me to speak up. I do my best to show them by how I treat them. Isn't that enough? I don't actually need to say it out loud. Isn't it really the thought that counts, like a gift? Now, I know that there's more than just saying you honor someone. There's more than just lip service that we need to pay. We can show people we honor them by how we act, by our attitude towards them, and that's a good thing. But honoring someone publicly is powerful. It has an impact on the person who gives the honor. It's a blessing to the one who receives it, and it speaks loudly to those who witness it. It's a powerful thing. Like, guys, do you remember when you were dating your wife? And you were out with the fellas, maybe you were at gym or something like that, and you were on the phone with your girlfriend, and she says, tell me you love me. Tell me, come on, tell me. And she made you say it out loud in front of your whole crew. That's because it's powerful. It's powerful when we publicly honor someone. If we want to show someone we really honor them, we need to give them our public support. Another practical way we can honor another person is with our finances. Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. If we want to honor God, we return to him the first 10% of what he provides for us. That's called our tithe. God's claimed it as his. And to honor him, we return that to him. If we want to honor a person, we take something that's important to us and we give some of it to them. Being generous with people is a way we can show them that we honor them. Not by giving them our leftovers. Not by giving them things that mean nothing to us. Let me give you a good example of what I'm talking about. You would not believe how many times since I've been in ministry that this has happened. Not at this church. Never happened here. Probably would never happen here. I'm always talking about some other church when I talk about stuff like this. Okay? Somebody calls up the church and says, "Pastor, I've got some old, fill in the blank, old books, old clothes, old furniture. Put the word old in front of anything." What was you saying, Will? Sorry? Organs. Old organs, yes. Not kidneys and livers. We're talking about the kind you play. Put the word old in front of most things, and people have called the church to try and give it away. People are always trying to give their old stuff to the church, thinking, of course the church could use it. And they think they're being generous. And there are some missionary organizations that do make good use of those things. But you and I both know when we give stuff like that away, it isn't because we're being generous. It's because it's easier to give it away than to throw it away, because it costs us nothing. If we want to show someone we honor them, it's going to have to cost us something. Like King David in 1 Chronicles 21, who refused the offer of the free oxen to give as a sacrifice. Because when it costs us nothing, it really means nothing. Matthew 6:21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where your heart, your emotions, your love, or your honor is, your money will follow. If we want to respect and hold someone in high esteem, invest your finances and your heart will follow. Our money is certainly not the only valuable thing we have to give, though. It's not the only precious and valuable thing that we have to show people that we respect them. We can also share our time. If you want to show someone they are valued, give them a gift that is even more precious than money, and that's time. Employers these days are finding out that the younger generation values something more than money. They're having to appreciate younger people in different ways. For many in the younger generation, the most important factor when it comes to accepting a job is not necessarily how much they make, but how much time they'll actually have to spend what they make. For many people today, leisure time or free time is a more valuable commodity than the money they make. If you're hiring a recent graduate and you want them to choose your company over another company, make sure they have enough vacation time, enough free time to spend with friends or family. Time to use as they wish, because time is more precious than money. Maybe you've heard this before. If you had a bank that credited your account each morning with $86,000 that carried over no balance from day to day, allowed you to keep no cash in your account, and every evening canceled whatever part of the amount you failed to use during that day, what would you do? Draw out every cent every day, of course, and use it to your advantage. Well, you have such a bank, and its name is Time. For every morning, it credits you with 86,400 seconds. Every night it rules off as lost whatever of this you failed to invest to good purpose. It carries over no balance. It allows no overdrafts. Each day it opens a new account with you. If you fail to use the day's deposits, the loss is yours. There is no going back. There is no drawing against tomorrow. It doesn't matter if it's your children, your boss, your pastor, the cashier at the checkout. If you want someone to feel valued, precious, or you want them to know that you respect them, spend the one thing on them they cannot get more of, and that's in short supply, and that is time. Put aside the only thing that is limited. You can make more money. You can buy more things, but you can never make, and you can never store up or buy any more time. So when you spend or invest this most precious resource on someone, you have told them in real time that they are important. Take a friend for coffee. Offer to babysit a single parent's children so they can go and have some free time. Be a safe, confidential place for someone to share what's on their heart, their hurts and struggles. All of these things let people know that they are precious and that they are valuable, which is true honor. Next, we can give encouragement. Sometimes all we need to do is speak to someone for them to be honored. Our words are a powerful, powerful tool. With our words, we can tear things down or we can build things up. Proverbs 18:21, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. Proverbs 12:18, thoughtless words cut like a sword, but the tongue of wise people brings healing. Words are huge. We can do so much damage with them. We can hurt so much with them. I've had plenty of opportunities to make a mess with my words. Just ask my wife. Happens all the time. That thing about thoughtless words, that's where I live. In my life, I've seen far too many times when my words were like shrapnel. You know when a bomb goes off, there are two things, two parts of a bomb that do damage and bring death. First of all, there's the concussive force of the blast. The bomb goes off and a shock wave goes out from the center of the blast. The force is so strong that the wave can collapse your lungs, can scramble your brains, or bust your spine. Secondary to the shock wave, but often farther reaching and more damaging, is the shrapnel. The pieces of metal or whatever made up the bomb or was packed around the bomb are thrown out from the blast. And it doesn't even have to be a part of the bomb. Things that are just laying around can be launched and become shrapnel, picked up by the blast and thrown out to people. Shrapnel is not aimed at anyone. It goes wherever it will and hurts whoever is closest. We've all said things that are like bombs that go off. There's the concussion, but then there's the shrapnel that goes much farther. That shrapnel often hurts people we love, and that often makes us sad and regretful. But I've also seen words bring life. I've also seen words bring healing. I've had people come to me and at just the right time bring a word of encouragement that is like a salve on a wound. And those words are like life to me. I've been able to bring words of encouragement to people. People who are discouraged. People who are broken, defeated. And watch them soak it up just like the dry, cracked ground when the rain comes. Encouraging someone when they are down is like medicine to a sick person. Encouraging someone because you want to honor them is like supercharging an engine. If we want to honor someone, we can encourage them with our words. To share the next practical way, I want to give you a little bit of insight into my childhood. I have two older sisters and an older brother. My older sisters were both out of the house before I could really remember. They're much older than I am. My older brother is 4 years older than me. We are very different people. When I was a boy, I was all about sports, playing sports, watching sports, doing sports. My brother, who I would say is the male version of Martha Stewart, was more concerned about his clothes and his hair. Now his hobbies are like baking cakes and decorating them and, you know, interior decorating. He's a pastor. He could retire any day from pastoring and become an interior decorator. That's his thing. We're very, very different. And when we were kids, we would fight like cats and dogs. It was awful. We drove our poor mom crazy. We were always at each other. Fighting all the time. It was terrible. It was terrible. He always was trying to ditch me and get rid of me. I just wanted to hang out with him and his older friends. And he would tease me about how I looked. And I would tease him because he was so uncoordinated. And we would fight. But there was one strange part about our relationship. And maybe you can relate to this. I didn't mind saying all kinds of terrible, awful things about my brother. But don't you dare say anything terrible about my brother. Right? If you say something bad about my brother, boy, I'm coming after you. And I would fight his battles all the time when he would get teased. I would defend my brother from anyone who would try and attack him with words or attitudes or physically. The first person to run to his defense was his brother. He drove me crazy. But he was my brother, and no one was going to disparage his good name. Another practical way we can show honor to someone is to defend them. People are very creative when it comes to how they rip people apart or tear them down. Reputations can be destroyed, relationships broken, ministries brought crashing down, all because somebody says something cruel, hurtful, or often not true. I think all of us have been in a place where we have heard someone attack someone else verbally. We have heard people say hurtful things, damaging things about leaders in our churches, our businesses, our governments, and even our families. Many times we just sit back and listen. We believe if we don't participate in the gossip, if we don't take part in the character assassination, that somehow we've done something good, which is totally a load of hooey. Saying nothing when someone is having their reputation shredded is not a good thing. If you don't step in and defend them, then you are giving your approval to whatever is being said. Well, Pastor, what if it's true? Doesn't matter. If someone is being brought down by the conversation and they are not there to defend themselves, the conversation is wrong. And if you want to do the right thing and you want to honor someone, you want to honor that person, then step in and defend them. Don't fight, don't argue, but defend them. If what is being said is true, correct the untruth, then stop the character assassination from continuing. The conversation needs to end. So what is being said is true? You need to point out in that situation, the way to deal with that issue is with the person and then end the conversation. Doing nothing is not an acceptable option if we want to live a life of honor, and neither is it honorable to continue gossiping about someone when they aren't there. Thank you for that amen this morning. I appreciate that. Next, if you want to honor someone in a practical way, be attentive. Have you ever had a conversation with someone and you know they're not paying attention to you? Their eyes are going everywhere. They're looking at other people. They're paying attention to this. They're paying attention to that. They're doing everything but paying attention to you. I hate talking to people like that. Sometimes I am that person. I have to watch myself. I can get like that if I'm not careful. Nothing makes people feel less appreciated than if you don't pay attention to them. Now, the opposite is also true. If you do pay attention to someone when they are talking, you automatically make them feel valuable and respected. It's a simple way to honor someone. I have an old friend. His name is Bob McCallum. He was an employment counselor back in Ontario in one of the churches I was at. And Bob was an amazing person to talk to. When you talked to Bob, he was paying attention to you. He was watching you. He was listening. You knew he was listening because he repeated things back to you that you said. He asked questions about what you were saying. He would even remember what you talked about at a later date and ask you about it then. He was a master at making you feel special. He always made me feel special and honored because he took interest in me and what I had to say. Now, all of these things that we've talked about could be applied to any relationship, whether the person who is someone who is a peer, a friend of yours, a coworker, someone who serves us, like a cashier or a waiter could be applied to this, someone we were responsible for, like one of our kids or an employee. But the last practical thing that we can talk about today due to honor someone is specifically for people whose authority we rest under. Our boss, our political leaders, our parents, our teachers, our church leader. All of the previous points were ways that we could show people we valued or respected them or that they were precious. But the third way we know to honor someone is to willingly submit to them. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about willingly submitting and how we can practically do that in our lives. Now, I am not talking about obedience. There's a difference between submitting and obedience. Obedience deals with our actions, and submission deals with our attitudes. We can be obedient without submitting. Just witness the eye roll of your children when you ask them to clean their room. You know it's possible to obey without submitting. I remember my girls were masters at the eye roll. They were queens of it. Used to drive Karen crazy. That nothing would get her more angry than one of those girls rolling their eyes at her. We know that we can do what we are asked to do by those in authority over us and still not submit to them. We complain while we do it. We only do exactly as much as we have to get by, and we have a sour attitude, sour disposition towards the task and the one who assigned it. But here's some ways we can willingly submit. First of all, do more than the minimum. Kids, you can pay attention because this is about you, okay? But it's about you in a way that your parents, okay, will need to actually live out as well. Because they have people who tell them what to do sometimes. So they need to do this just as well as you do. And when my kids didn't want to clean their rooms, and I made them, it could be very frustrating. It was awful. Because they would just take everything that was laying around and do one of three things with it. Shove it under the bed, put it in the closet, or throw it in the dirty laundry basket. You had no idea how many times I would take their dirty laundry basket, take it down to the washing machine, and realize that I was putting folded, clean laundry back in the washing machine because they couldn't be bothered to put it away. But I told them to clean their room, so they did. Whoosh, they learned that from their mother. I'll tell you that right now. She's smiling because she knows it's true. She knows it's true. She was the master of just filling her closet and under her bed with the stuff that was in her room. Because her mom had told her to clean her room. And there were like old lunches under there from school and all kinds of wonderful things. But when our kids had the right attitude about cleaning the room, the vacuum came out. a big garbage bag of junk was usually involved because they would clean up. And on rare occasions, the dusting cloth would come out and the pledge. You see, the first one, cleaning up, was just throwing everything in the laundry basket as obedience. The second one is willingly submitting. If you want to honor those in authority over you, do more than the bare minimum, more than what you're being asked to do, and your leaders will be honored by you. Along the same line, but slightly more powerful, is to do the unexpected. Now, there were times when we asked our girls to clean their rooms, and they did a really, really good job. What was really, really nice for us was when they chose to do it on their own. And they would go and do that. When that happened, when those occasions came up, I often wondered if aliens had come and taken over our children's bodies, you know, like body snatchers or something like that came up and something. Because it was so strange. Yes, you did. You got a tour of the room. When they chose to clean it, there was always a tour. Come see my room. Come see. If you want to honor someone who is an authority over you, shock them with the unexpected. Do something for them you don't usually do, or you know that they would appreciate. Now, hear me on this. Don't think that you can occasionally shock your boss with something unexpected, but not do everything else to honor them. You can't say, okay, well, today's an honoring day, so I'm going to do something unexpected, and then be rude and disrespectful every other day of the week. No. You need to do all the regular things on a daily basis. You can't make up for it on special occasions. You need to do all the first steps to honor them before the unexpected will be helpful or a blessing to them or you. But if you do value them as precious and respect them, showing your submission to their authority by doing something amazing and unexpected for them, something they wouldn't expect will bring honor to them and a blessing to you. Isaiah 1:19, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land. See, willing and obedient, that's where there is a reward. Third, keep our attitudes under control. The easier part is in the doing. The harder part is in the attitude with how we do it. Attitudes need to be checked and then rechecked and then checked again. Especially when it comes to authority, our nature is not to submit to those in authority over us, but to rebel, to do our own thing. And isn't that the original sin of pride? I don't need you, God. I can do it all on my own. We can do it without you. We're as good as you, as smart and wise and holy as you, God. That's where man fell, at the same spot we find ourselves almost every day, deciding to either submit or do our own thing. And if we're not careful, we can convince ourselves we are justified in being rebellious. We rationalize our wrong attitudes with thoughts like, I deserve more. That's unfair. Nobody else has to do that. Or I don't feel like it. When those thoughts come, we begin to entertain them and we chew on them and then we swallow them. Our bad attitudes lead us away from a life of honor towards dishonor and potentially to sin. If you want to honor someone, keep your attitude under control. Will those thoughts still come? Absolutely. You just keep them in check. Don't entertain them. Have self-control. Put those thoughts aside and treat them like bubblegum. Have a chew, but then spit it out. One last thing, a question I'm sure you might be asking. Is there ever an instance when I do not have to obey and submit? For the answer, let's go to the answer book. If you read Daniel chapter 3, the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, builds a giant statue and tells everyone to bow and worship it. You know the story. Three young men refused to obey the king's orders because they follow the one true God, and he commanded them not to have any other gods before them. So they're in the very situation that many of you anticipate that you might be someday. Being asked to do something by a legitimate authority that you know is wrong. It goes directly against God's word. Let's read how they deal with this. Daniel 3:14-18. And Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Or shake the bed, make the bed, into bed we go, as I learned as a child. That you do not serve my God or worship the image of gold I have set up. Now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Now, pay close attention to these three young men and their response to King Nebuchadnezzar. Even though they cannot obey him, they call him king. Your majesty, they honor the king. They submit to the king with their attitudes, but they do not obey the king. The only time we have permission to disobey is when the authority over us asks us to do something that is contrary to the written word of God. But even then, Scripture says we are to honor that authority. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. Get this for me. If the word of God says, not if you say, not if your impression says, not if your thought says, if the word of God says, if the word of God clearly says it, not to do something, and you are asked to do it, here's what you do. With a submissive, respectful, honoring attitude, like the one displayed by those three young men, you say, I'm sorry, I can't do that. Now, most of the time when that happens, it's not the word of God that says, it's our impression. It's how we feel. It's that we don't like it. It's inconvenient. It's hard. These things can't be backed up with Scripture. If your boss says lie, if he says cheat, if he says steal, you say, you're the boss, but I can't do that. If your boss says you need to work this weekend, we're busy, you can't say, God told me to spend the weekend at the camper. Honoring people, it can be done. It needs to be done. God commands it. Let's stand together this morning. It isn't a suggestion. The question is, will you choose to submit or not? Will you choose to honor or not? It is a heart condition. It is truly an attitude that we can have. Yes, it's hard, but it's simple. It's simple. Us, Lord, never do or think or say that we're wrong. And God, that is a simple thing, but a hard thing that you did. And Father God, you call us to honor you. You call us to honor those people in our lives who you've placed there in authority over us. And Father, it's a simple thing, but it's hard. Help us, Lord God, to live a life of honor. Help us, Lord God, to walk trusting you, Lord God, that even though it's tough, even though it's difficult, Lord God, that you will give us the strength to live it out. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for all that you've done. We're so mindful of your blessings. We thank you for everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.